Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
You're listening to the Sam Oye Podcast, the program that uplifts your spirit, renews your mind, and transforms your life every week. And now, here is your host, the Reverend Sam Oye.
All right, Exodus chapter 25, verse 8. I want us all to read together verse 8 and 9, and we'll proceed from there. Let's do that together. One, two, go. Have the people of Israel build me a holy sanctuary so I can live among them. Wait, take it back. Tell the people to build, okay? And always remember this. If God says be fruitful, God will never demand from you what God in the first place has not empowered you to do, okay? So if God says be fruitful, it must have meant that God has made you to be what? Seedful. So if God demands anything from you, he must have in the first place put it in you. He must have given to you what God is asking from you. Does that make sense now? So when God says build, he must have shown us a picture. Okay, now watch this carefully. Let's go down to that scripture. Have the people of Israel build me a holy sanctuary so I can live among them. Now you're going to see what I said before. The next verse. You must build this tabernacle and its furnishings exactly to the pattern I will want. So I'm making a request of you to build what I'm about to do, what? Show you. So building will begin after the showing has taken place. In essence, you are not going to build what you've not seen. Did you hear what I just said right now? You are not going to build what you've not what? Seen. In essence, we end up building what we have. Oh, talk to me again. We end up building what we have what? All right, premised on that, premised on what I have just established from scripture, I'd like to speak to you today on stopping the flow, breaking patterns that are negative in relationship, breaking negative relationship patterns. We want to stop the flow by the grace of God. Let's pray together. Father, we ask for the blessing on your word today. Minister to every man, every woman under the sound of my voice. In Jesus the Christ's mighty name we pray. Amen. Please, you may be seated. I have found myself recently in several places preaching and speaking of marriage and relationship. It's really overwhelming what God is doing in this day and time. The places where I'm being asked to come and speak are places that normally I would not have imagined that they will ask me to come speak there. Not because of inability to speak in such places, but because, again, of how conservative some of those people are. But then to see how God is opening doors in this direction, it's really overwhelming. From television stations to churches to all kinds of organizations, private meetings with senior people in the country, they gather themselves together into an exclusive environment where I just come to talk to people like them. It's amazing to know that people are concerned about their marriages. People are concerned about their marriages. Everybody wants a great home. Who wants to go home to a troubled home? Who wants to go home to a troublous wife or husband? So marriage has become something that we must give attention to. Our relationships must become healthy. And in order to proceed into our conversation today, the first thing I want to say to you, and please, I'd like you to write down. You have a lot of writing down to do today. The first thing I want to establish is that God is a God of order. God is a God of order. God is a God of structure. And God is a God of patterns. God is a God of structure, order, and patterns. God doesn't build, do anything randomly. Genesis reveals to us how that our God is intentional. Our God is intentional. Everything God does, He does orderly, structurally, intentionally. That's the way our God functions. And in the same vein, God doesn't want His own children to build randomly. He doesn't want us to build accidentally. He doesn't do things like that, and He doesn't expect us to do things other than the way He does them. So God builds orderly, structurally, intentionally, so that we can learn from Him. So Jesus puts it this way: as I watch my Father do, so I do. So God wants us to build structurally. There is order between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Okay, there is order. You don't find Jesus trying to violate the Father's instruction or the Holy Spirit doing anything that violates the way Jesus will want things to be done. They walk in harmony, and like you will put it, Gen Z, they are in sync. All right? It's critical for us to understand that I'm laying a premise for our conversation today. When God told Moses to build, He did not say to Moses, build what you feel. He did not say to Moses, build as you feel. Have a look at your neighbor. Say, don't build your relationship or marriage as you feel. So God did not say, Pastor Bono, He did not say, build your family how you feel. Nothing destroys relationships and marriages like building our relationship driven by how we feel. You will ruin your marriage if you build it based on how you feel. So cancel that out of the equation today. We don't build as we feel. Write that down. We don't build as we feel. He didn't say to Moses, build as you feel, or build based on what you feel. He did not say to Moses, build as it is convenient. So we don't build based on convenience. You don't build a marriage based on convenience. And I know for a while nobody has been teaching us about the duty side of marriage. The duty side of marriage. There is a duty side of marriage. In fact, predominantly, you're going to find out that marriages that truly work, it's not built, they are not built on feelings, emotions. They are built on the sense of duty. I don't have to feel to give my wife what my wife deserves. I don't wait to feel to provide for my family. It's a duty. Do you understand that? If my wife comes to me and say, hey, sweetheart, I'd love to have sex with you. And I know it's created a lot of controversy. My friend and I, Apostle Irem, were together in this church. And Apostle Irem talked about the dutiful side of sex and marriage. And I was surprised to know that It just created unnecessary boss. Again, sometimes it shows you how we are 1,000 kilometers wide in knowledge and 2 inches deep. We react mostly from the place of emotion. There's always the assumption that we understand a thing. Most of the times, the reality is that we feel a thing, not understand a thing. So you imagine this now. My wife comes to me, sir. My wife comes to me and says, "Sweetheart, she just feels like she wants to be intimate with her husband, okay?" And I'm like, listen to me, I'm not in the mood. I've had a bad day and all kinds. So whatever are the reasons, and I say, "Oh, look, I'm not in the mood, I'm not in this and that and all of that." And so I turn her away, okay? All right. And so maybe she comes the next day and I'm not in the mood. Fantastic. And so I turn her away. Fantastic. Now she eventually decides that maybe, depending on who she is, based on the strength of her character, based on her capacity to manage such pressure, and based on her proclivities before she got married. How was she dealing with such things before she got married? When she has the desire for sex, what does she normally do? If she manages it without a man, she can still manage without a man. If she managed it without toys, she would still manage without toys. If she managed it without masturbating, pornographing, then she's still going to do the same. But if her codependency approach or style was to ensure that anytime I feel it, I must do it either with somebody or something, then if I turn her away, depending when my mood is going to be okay, what is she supposed to do? She's going to figure out how to deal with it. And in most cases, she will revert to what she's used to. You get what I'm dealing with here. She will go back to what she's used to. Now, here's where the twist comes. How about when I now am out of my mood, I'm feeling good now, and I decide to go reach out to her, and she is also not in a good mood. It now becomes a mood-driven relationship. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Because most times we always forget that the one who has the right to use mood as an excuse today has forgotten that the other party also has a right to use mood as an excuse tomorrow. In which case, if mood becomes the determinant of our intimacy, when will we ever have intimacy? Because the reality is that we are in a world that constantly attacks our mood. The workplace will attack your mood. Children, what they do sometimes will attack your mood. So our moods will constantly fluctuate. Does that mean our intimacy must follow our mood? That's where the question becomes very deep. So he did not say build according to what, sir? Convenience. Marriage is not a place of convenience. Marriage is a place where out of love you will inconvenience yourself over and over again. Over and over again. You will have to learn the word sacrifice in marriage. You'll have to learn it. So the Bible didn't say build according to what is convenient. It's a build according to pattern, what is revealed. And today, throughout this meeting, I just wanted to make sure somebody comes to speak to you today. So I'm just doing more or less like a keynote session. I'm not going to be in your face today. You'll be hearing me, and you're still going to be hearing me. Today, my desire is that you hear somebody else. So my attempt this morning is to ensure that I give you a premise for what is coming. Build according to pattern. God wants to show us how to build marriages that will work. Marriages that will last. Please keep this in mind. You will always build according to the pattern you are exposed to. Anything in life, everything in life, you will always build according to the pattern you are exposed to. You will always build. And this calls for introspection. I hope my marriage is not resembling the one I hated. I hope my home is not resembling the one I came out from and I was not happy with. You will always build according to what you've seen. I'm coming there in a short while. What that tells you is that if the pattern you were exposed to was broken, it's going to lead you to build a broken home. If the pattern you were exposed to was dysfunctional, you're going to build a home that is what? Dysfunctional. If the pattern you were exposed to was very abusive, what are you going to build? You're going to build a home that is also abusive. Here is the exception to the rule. The only reason why you will not build according to what you see, take note of this. There is a change in information. There must be a change in information. Change in revelation, superior information. You must have something superior revealed to you, something beautiful revealed to you. So change in information. You go sit down, somebody educates you differently. Change in revelation, number three. There must be change in disposition. The way you think, the way you feel, the way you perceive. There must be a change internally. It's not enough for God to show you. It's not enough for you to hear. It's not enough for you to learn. But there must be a change internally in terms of your beliefs, your values, and your principles. They have to change. So there must be a change in disposition. First, there must be a change in information. Number two, there must be a change in revelation. There must be a change in disposition. Only then can we begin to talk about a change in action. A change in disposition not backed up by a change in action will not present or produce a change in behavior. So behaviors don't change until actions align with disposition. Like I said today, I'm not the one teaching. I'm just giving you some little premise for our conversation. So if my behavior is going to change, my actions must consistently change, predicated on my new disposition. And that disposition, the way I look at life now, the way I think, my new mindset, my paradigm, call it whatever you want to say, mindset, anyhow you want to call it, it has been my mindset, my predisposition, my disposition, everything has been changed by what, sir? Revelation from the word of God, superior information that I've just received. For instance, I had to travel with Pastor Sunday. We went all the way to Modesto in California, and we got there, sat down for 3 days only to learn how to communicate. Wait a minute, sir, I thought communication is just talking. All right, but I've also seen how talking has resulted in warfare. So I now realize that if you don't learn how to talk, you're gonna get your marriage in a mess. So what did we do, sir? We traveled all the way to go sit down, flight ticket, we pay for the cost just to sit down and have somebody teach us on how to communicate. You will think communication comes to us naturally. You will think that we're going to have healthy communication by accident. Come on, look up. Did you hear what I just said now? You will not have healthy communication by accident. So I had to sit down and somebody had to tell me that if your communication is going to be effective, I'm going to give it to you free of charge. I've been teaching you in this church, but I paid to get it. All right? And the person had to tell me, Professor Hernandez, who's been married for 50 years and his marriage was highly successful, just passed on recently. Michelle happens to be his wife. Amazing woman, very supportive. Just looking at the two of them, you can sense the peace in their marriage. 50 solid years. And then he said to us, do you want to learn how to have conversation that is healthy in a marriage? We say, yes, sir. It's a very simple. Three things. Number one, listen, speak, and negotiate. Don't write it down. And if you were trying to write it, I just hope you've forgotten. I paid to receive it, so you must pay to get it. Confuse your neighbor, please. Tell your neighbor something. Just tell them to write something else. I should repeat it. Sam Oye said you should fight. That's it. Write it. So I got to realize that if there's going to be solid conversation in the family, there must be speaking. Somebody must speak. And here's the rule. That when somebody's speaking, the other person must shut up. Did you hear the word? Shut what? Up. And that's the part that is not easy. How do you shut up when somebody is talking and the person is hurting you? But that's the rule. Shut up. And then to not make it more serious, I was given a tool. Write. When the person is talking, write, record. There are several other tools you can use. But you dare not interrupt. Listen. So I have notes. I have recordings. Conversation between my wife and I from 2015 till date. From 2015 till date. I can take you back dates. You said so and so. And why am I keeping the records? Why am I keeping this? So that I go back and look and say, listen, she complained about this. She complained about that. I hope I'm not still doing it. Speak, listen, and watch her. Negotiate. And one of the things that I was taught is that when she's speaking and she is going off track, and it turns out to be that what she's saying is maybe premised on a faulty data or understanding, you still cannot interrupt her. You still cannot stop her. So what I do is I raise my hands. So my wife is talking and I know she's on her way to Lake Chad. I know. First, the boss she jumped into, number one, was wrong. The driver, wrong. The road they are following, wrong. Where they will end, wrong. Does he have anything to do with me? No. I know. But she is convinced. And she's talking with passion. I'm like, hoping she will change. She's still going. Then she changes gear as I'm watching her. Gear 2, gear 3, gear 4. At this point, I'm very sure this woman is not going to make a detour. So what do I do, sir? Initially, I'm writing at gear 1 so that I can rephrase, redirect that conversation. She moves to gear 2. I'm still writing. By the time she hits 5, I know at this point there's no return. So I raise my hands. And I keep waving. When I do that, she knows. Now, there's a part of it that makes it so that anytime she notices that I'm raising my hand and she knows it is wrong. There's something about it. She just wants to talk. And so she will still push and say what she wants to say. When she's done, I say, sorry, that is wrong. I said, you were heading the wrong direction. Can we go back to the right course? Can we resume our normal conversation? Because you went totally off. Everything was premised on the wrong observation, wrong conclusion. It was premised wrongly. Now, that is not how I was raised. That's not how I was. And that's not what I saw. Amen. What I saw, my father is talking and my mother wants to start talking. I woke up seeing slaps. I woke up seeing kicks. I grew up seeing all of that. The only reason I'm not going to produce that is that there is a change in what? Information. 2, change in what? Revelation. 3, change in what? Disposition. And now what am I doing? My actions are aligning. Are you getting what I'm talking about here? What you know is not as important as what you do in marriage. Write that down. What you know about marriage, what you know about relationship, does not automatically translate to a healthy marriage, to a healthy relationship. What you know can guarantee the fact that if you act on it, your marriage will become better. So it's not those who know that have. It is those who act on what they know. It is the reason why you've been attending several marriage programs. You've been attending seminars and relationship programs. But your relationship is still in a mess. Your marriage is still in a mess. Why? You will not act on what you've heard. Please write this down. Nothing in relationship happens by chance. Nothing in relationship happens by chance. Particularly if it keeps happening, it is not coincidence. It's a pattern. If it keeps happening, it is no longer a coincidence. It's no longer a mistake. It's a pattern. Patterns are the hidden architects of our lives. I'm speaking to you today on stop the flow, how to break negative relationship patterns. Patterns are hidden architects of our lives, of our marriages, and our relationships. Patterns quietly design the outcomes of our relationships and marriages, whilst we keep doing something very funny here. We keep blaming each other. So I'm blaming you, but not giving attention to what's the pattern driving the outcomes. So I'll never forget the day I sat down at Bishop Jake's church and I heard Bishop Jake's teaching. And when Bishop Jake's was ministering, one of the things that I heard was that if you want to stop the problem, stop the pattern, because the pattern drives the problem. He said most times we're trying to fix the problem, but we are not giving attention to what's the pattern. There's a pattern that drives every problem. There's a pattern that drives every problem. So it's dangerous to be fighting your partner when you need to focus on the pattern driving the problem. In most cases, our focus is on our partner. Whereas what is really driving the madness in the relationship and marriage is a pattern that we're not giving attention to. Something that repeats itself again and again. So until patterns are broken, changed, pains will repeat themselves. Until patterns are changed, pains will repeat themselves. Problems in the relationship will repeat themselves. So today we want to look at it. What are some of the patterns that creates the problems in our relationship? What are some of the patterns? Until the patterns change, pains will continue. So you don't fix relationships by focusing on fixing your partners. You focus on fixing the patterns, because patterns drives relationships. The problems in the relationships are pattern centric. Particularly marriage, whatever repeat itself as a problem can be traceable to what? Say loud and clear. It can be traceable to a pattern. So relationship problems are not accidental. If they reoccur, they are not accidental. Marital crises are not random. Marital crises are not random. It is also critical to realize that you don't fix relationship by changing your partners. managing emotions or avoiding conflict. That's not how you fix a marriage. That's not how you fix a relationship. To fix a relationship and a marriage, fix the pattern driving the problem. Because you don't get what you desire, you get what your patterns produce. Let me explain patterns to you this way. Look up, everybody. Don't miss this now. It's going to be very beautiful for you. How many of you, I want to use mold. I want to use mold. Look at this, everybody. You see this stuff here? This is circular. This is round. Is that okay? Okay, so this doesn't happen by accident. Producing this doesn't happen by somebody just standing in the manufacturing center and just like, I just imagine, I wish round plastic would come out now. Wish. No, machines don't produce your wishes. If you're going to get something like this, what's the first thing you do? You create what they call, say loud and clear. I love that. Say it again. Mold. How many of you have been to bread factory before? You know, there's, okay, those of you have been to catering, you've been around caterers, right? You see that what you call it? Pan, right? Baking pan, right? I'm sure you know that no matter how you pray, Eros Maga Veliato Mambasa. Now, if you like praying tongues of angels and of archangels, all right? If you put into an oven, my wife is a caterer, I've never seen where she put a square baking pan into an oven. And Pastor Wisdom, by the time the bread or the cake is coming out, my wife just wishes that what will come out will not be a square cake. Kazovaba yenos kira, I wish ombreheska, or a round cake come out. In fact, double layer. You will be most amazed at the kind of, if you are not careful, because of the time you're spending praying in tongues, the square one will burn. Are you getting what I'm saying now? It's very simple. Because, and let me say this, if you put in a square pan into the oven and you bring out a square cake and you put back into the oven the same square pan, baking pan, what again are you going to bring out? So we can predict outcome. You understand that? No matter what we wish, we can predict outcome because we know that the pan has not changed. The pan has not changed. So we know for sure that what will come out is predictable. I know what I will get because we've not altered the pan. So the pan will always produce what the pan has always... Are you hearing what I'm saying now? The pan will always produce what the pan has always produced. I'd always produce. If the pan will produce something different, we have to alter the shape of the pan. So if you want to see something different, you want to make sure that what you have changes. You don't alter the pan, you can expect something totally different. So there is a mold that predicts repetition. Because we know the mold we have, we know what we're always going to get back. So we're dealing with patterns here. You already know the kind of man you have. You already know the kind of woman you have. And you're expecting something totally different. And don't forget, you're not going to have something different from someone who has not become different. Write that down. I wonder why sometimes in relationship we are acting like we are ignorant of the fact that I'm expecting from a square pan a round cake. Can you imagine me now hoping and wishing that Pastor Mary will wake up tomorrow morning and will begin to tell me, bonjour. Bonjour, man. La Mondie Zevedi from Worry Woman. And I did not see her go to learn French. Don't forget, let's go back to our pattern. We said if the pattern is going to break, we need to change what? Change loud and clear. There must be a change in what? Information. There must be a change in what? Revelation. There must be a change in what? Disposition. And when there is a change in disposition, we say something must align with the change in disposition. What is that? Our actions must align. Then we can see an alteration in behavior. Is that not so? So I've not seen her going for information. I've not seen. When did your husband go for? When did he go to see therapy? When did your husband go to sit down with a relationship coach? Talk to me, sir. Pastor, when did your wife take off and you were there? You drove her to a place over what you complain about. Is that okay, sir? When did you take your wife to go sit down with a counselor, a coach, a therapist? When did she go to get a new information or sat down with somebody that can open her eyes to get a new revelation that alters her disposition in not to affect her actions? If that never happens, square pans will still keep giving you what, sir? Square breads. Let me say this. How long you have been married will not turn a square pan into a pan that produces round bread. Longevity does not change anything. There is always an assumption that because we've been long in marriage, we will have a different outcome. Let me say this. You know, Job said, I have observed that there's no wisdom in old age, meaning longevity, long age, how old you live, doesn't really make a difference. There's a spirit in man, the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him what, sir? So, meaning if there is no inflow, those of us who are in biology, those of us who are in the science will tell you that metamorphosis always happens, transformation always happens when we have the incursion of a new cell into an existing bacterium, only then can it alter the entire sequence on the inside. But if the same bacterium remains the same, you can't expect something different. How long it stays doesn't guarantee the fact that it will change. So what are patterns? Very quickly. So what are patterns? Number one, write this down. Patterns are learned behaviors. They are learned. Nobody goes from zero to hero. Consciously, unconsciously, somebody trained you. You were trained, whether you were aware of it, whether you sat in a former class or not, you were trained. Patterns are learned behaviors. You were trained by your environment, trained by your upbringing, trained by who you were constantly looking at. Who you were constantly listening to was training you, was shaping you. You learned how to argue by watching people argue. Yes. You learned how to absorb and never respond. You learned how to be subdued by watching a father who was subdued by a mother, or a mother who was subdued by a father. You learned how to internalize your pain, how to implode, how to keep quiet, never speak up. You learned it. You learned how to love if you love. And you also learned how not to love. You learned how to suspect people because you grew up in such an environment where everybody was suspicious of everyone. Your brother hid his food. You also hid your coke. All of you became FBI agents inside your father's house. You became hypersensitive in your father's house. Movements, you could feel tremors. That you, even if somebody is tiptoeing, you could feel tremors. You can perceive movement towards your cook. It all began somewhere. And it has followed you up now to adulthood. So you're married now. Every little movement of your wife or your husband, you are just unnecessarily suspicious. So patterns are repeatable ways of thinking, speaking, acting, reacting. And we learn them through families, culture, and observation. Patterns are not only learned behavior. Patterns are invisible scripts that governs how we act in life. Please write that down. Patterns are invisible scripts that governs how we function, how we act in life. Now, I always say write the points. The way some of you are writing, I hope you're not trying to produce a book. Just write the point, okay? Anybody writing more than a point, please tell them to stop. I'm suspecting you. What are you trying to do? Praise God. So patterns, watch this carefully. Patterns operate like internal programs. It's a programming. What you were seeing, what you were hearing, what you were exposed to was actually settling in you as programs. Internal scripts. You don't see them, but they control you. You can make a decision in your mind, but when pressure comes, the script takes over. Mm-hmm. That's the issue with the script. The script always finds expression when pressure is in place. Those of you who were here on Thursday, I started a series on pressure. Is that okay? How to turn pressure into power. Emotion shift. If you missed that, make sure you're around on Thursday. So patterns operate like internal programs. That is why people say, I didn't mean to say that, yet you said it. You see, until the script changes, how you act will never change. And in most cases, we're focused on changing the action, not knowing that it's the disposition that influences the action. The script influences the act. So whenever you see an actor on a stage acting, there is a script that is influencing the act. Am I correct? If you want to change the act, you change the script. Some of us are going to see how that many of us were messed up before we're released into marriage. Messed up. And for those who are singles, you better deal with the script before you go into marriage. So, patterns are invisible scripts, subconscious programs. They control our reactions. They override our intentions. This is the most difficult part to internalize about patterns that function as scripts. They override. This is what I intended to do, but that's what I ended up doing. I didn't know when I called that dog. I didn't know when I called that goat. I didn't know when I called that this. Where did all of that come? And it's always that whenever I'm under pressure, I say things I'm not supposed to say. It's a revelation of the fact that there's still a script running your life. This is going to make you uncomfortable. It's going to make you uncomfortable. Wait a minute. But Reverend Sam, you're talking to born again people. So what? That's why the church is a little bit messed up the way we are today. That's why those of us who are clergy are involved in the mess that we're involved in. Why? Because the only thing we're made to understand, and which is what drives us, particularly here in Africa, is that we are spirit-centric without any commitment towards developing our soul. And by the way, don't forget that salvation and everything that has to do with your spiritual regeneration, everything that has to do with your spiritual growth, is God-centric. If your life is going to change, the Bible says, be you transformed by what's up? Renewing of your mind is not God. God's responsibility is your responsibility. You have to sit down, read what can change your thinking. Expose yourself to the kind of things that can alter your mind's construct. It's your responsibility. That's why I thank God for those of you who have chosen to come this morning. Would you clap for yourself? You did very well. It's a good morning to sleep, but you chose something better. I value knowledge. I know within myself that although God has a great future and promise for me, I know that my mind states can't power that future. I need to become a better person. And the only way to become a better person is to make sure I become better in the way I think. So patterns are invisible scripts. Please write this down. I want to make number three statement I want to make. Patterns are generational. And I understand that the church is, we are delivered from generational curses. I submit to that. I agree with you. We are delivered from generational curses. But what we are talking about is patterns, okay? And when we're talking about patterns, we are talking about repeatable behaviors. And behaviors are not answerable to immediate cases of salvation. That's why the Bible says you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. Behaviors are predicated on established thinking patterns, beliefs, worldviews, philosophies, principles. And until they are altered, behaviors don't change. The joy we have as Christians is that we have the most superior text that can usher in our transformation faster than any other text can make possible. And then we have an agency called the Holy Spirit who can superimpose his influence on the text and make our transformation to be lasting. That's the joy we have. Patterns don't just live in you. They live through you. That is the most dangerous part of patterns. They don't just live in you. No. They live eventually through you. And if you're not careful, you'll be alive and you'll be watching patterns that live through you now coming back at you. David never knew that what he didn't deal with in his lifetime will come back to him in his lifetime. This issue of sexual immorality that David didn't deal with, he never knew that in his lifetime Absalom will carry his own concubines, take them to the rooftop. David does his own in the room with Bathsheba, that he hid it from everybody. But then Absalom carries his father's wives, concubines, takes them to the rooftop. I say, oh Israel, I just need to entertain you today. Something has been going on in our families. We've been covering it for years. I want to let the world know what we cover in our home. Are you listening to me? Listen to me. You have to deal with this thing. If you don't deal with it, it will come back at you. Usually, pattern first affects others. Normally, that's the way negative pattern works. It flows through us to hurt others. But after a while, negative patterns will come back to do what? To hurt you. And at that moment, I thought it would have been a nice thing for David to say, listen, emergency. What do you call that thing that whenever there's a crisis in a state, you declare a state of water? Yeah, David should have declared a state of emergency, that there's something going on in this family. We need to shut down all everything. I'm going to give attention to this matter. No, David continued. He kept on moving on. He said, that's the point. Absalom just slept with all your concubines, and David kept on moving on. David should have realized something is coming at us in this family. David just kept on building, kept on saving money for the building of the temple of God, kept on walking towards making sure he keeps the kingdom together. Little did he know that what he was keeping together, the weakness he was not dealing with, will eventually destroy. Eventually perpetuated itself through Solomon. What happened, sir? Solomon gathered 1,000. That was historical. 1,000 women. Just think about it. I don't know what to do with Pastor Mary. I've not scratched 20% of satisfaction in terms of satisfying her. 20%. I don't know if I've satisfied her. Then I'll gather Arabian women, Ashdodites, Amorites, Edithites. Gather all of them together. So this morning, hi, sweetheart. So you'll be here, sweetheart. It's me from about 1,000 rooms. That's a lot of insanity, I tell you. But watch what happened. It eventually ruined that whole dynasty. Until finally, we had a situation whereby someone who had to be called the seed of David, Jesus, we had to have Jesus come over and had to deal with that same problem, because we saw him be left at the well with a woman who had had 5 husbands. It will still come after the kids. It will still come after the next generation. So patterns are generational. They move from one generation to another. What your parents tolerated, you may eventually normalize. That, I wish I had time to talk about that. Normalization of what was tolerated. Mothers tolerated it. Fathers tolerated it. You will normalize it. What I saw my mother tolerated, if you're not careful, you will normalize. What you saw your father tolerated, you will wake up one day and you will normalize it. And by the time you normalize it, we have institutionalized it. It has become institutionalized. So we say in every bloodline, there are 4 kinds of people. I've shared that with you before. Initiators, continuators, multiplicators, and terminators. In every bloodline, there are those who are the initiators of a pattern. A negative power. It didn't come from the sky. Somebody started it. There's always somebody who initiates it. There's always somebody who starts it. The sad part in every bloodline is that you will always find somebody who sympathizes with what was initiated. So you find continuators. Abraham lied. Isaac lied. Continuators. The problem is that usually the person that should have put an end to it is the continuator. The sad part is that continuators don't always end it. So what that means is that to move to the next one, who are the third ones? Say it again. Multiplicators. So if you look at the case of lies, Abraham lied, Isaac lied under the same circumstances. Then we got over to Jacob. Did we have a continuation or a multiplication? Jacob did not lie. Jacob became a liar. Are you getting what's going on here now? Now remember what I told you. When you begin with negative pattern, first it hurts others, but later it will come back to hurt you. So Isaac lied to an outsider. Am I correct? It was an outsider Isaac lied to. But when Jacob showed up in the fullness of his glory, in the fullness of the strength of that weakness, of that pattern, what happened? He lied back to who? To Isaac. That was what Jacob did. I am Esau. It has started. And then you would have thought that the children of Jacob will put an end to it. Oh, Jacob lied to Isaac. The sons of Jacob now came to lie. 10 of them came to lie to their own father. It's coming home. What left home is what? It's coming home. Finally, the only respite we had in that family. And watch this. Because everybody is operating under the same pattern, nobody rose above each other. By the time Joseph was established in Egypt, when they all came to beg for, can you imagine 10 men still under the roof of their father? 10 mighty, including Judah. Judah, what limited them? And Joseph moved over to Egypt. You would have thought geographical location or relocation, geographical dislocation. You would have thought that that would bring about a change. No. That same thing came after Joseph in a strange land. Right in the same house where he was working. The wife of the king said, listen to me. There's a problem in your bloodline. And the problem is this. It's both a case of women and lies. I'm combining 2 of them and I'm giving them all to you at once. Yes. Abraham slept with his concubine. It was a silent thing going on in that family. Jacob came over the same sin. moved on with concubines and all of that. Joseph, in your own case, I'm going to bring two of them together, lies and women. Sleep with me, then the lying part of it behave like nothing happened. Joseph said, I see where all of this is going to bring me also under the same influence, limit my growth, limit my potential. I refuse it. It will cost me, because the person that breaks it may have to fight a lot of things. The person that will break the pattern will have a lot to deal with. If you are the one that wants to break it, it's not going to come easy. You're going to face warfare from external and internal forces. If you are the one that will say, this must stop, you're going to face a lot of battles. It landed Joseph in the prison, but he maintained his no. Let me ask you a question. If it was Judah that was in the house of that woman, what do you think Judah would have done? It would not have been the woman looking for Judah. Judah would have gone looking for her. I'm talking about patterns. Patterns transfer. Patterns multiply. Patterns repeat. It is the DNA of patterns. They are transferred. So they are transferable. They are transmittable. The other side about patterns is that they are multiplicatable. You can multiply them. They are repeatable. What you don't stop secretly will soon become. It is the nature of life. And Jesus already put some of us under a good spell. He said, whatever you do in the secret shall come to what, sir? It shall come to the open. Jesus already told us that. I always tell people, I say, when you came into this kingdom, you didn't even know what you came under. You didn't know what you came under. If you don't break it, you will inherit it. And if you inherit it, you will transmit it. If you don't break the pattern, you will inherit it. And if you don't inherit, if you inherit it, you will do what eventually? You transmit it. And always remember, what you transmit is not what will come back to you. It multiplies. It's the nature of patterns. It does what? It multiplies. We saw it in lies. Mega lies came back home. We saw women, David, and we saw mega women came back. So it multiplies. It multiplies. How do patterns evolve? Let me quickly share this with you so that you know how they come. How do patterns evolve? How do these patterns come about? Number one, patterns evolve through exposure. Exposure. What you see repeatedly becomes what you accept unconsciously. How do patterns evolve? Patterns evolve through exposure. What you see repeatedly is what you accept unconsciously, because exposure is powerful. It shapes your definition of what normal is. So when you get to see it over and over again, it becomes normalized. Even if it's a bad thing, if you keep seeing it over and over, that's why media is so powerful. They keep showing it to you. And why are they showing it to you? They want to normalize it. You hated what you saw growing up, but under pressure, you reproduced it. Because again, it was familiar. I shared with you the case of Tiger Woods, and we pray for him. I wish him the very best. I hope he recovers well. But the life of that young man has never been the same. So there was only one thing. Tiger Woods one day walked into the house and saw his father having an affair with a woman. That changed the life of Tiger Woods. Never to recover from it. Tiger Woods said, from that day, I hated my father. Just the understanding that my father was involved in an affair. He said, I hated my father. But listen carefully to this. Tiger Woods said, I made up my mind. Please don't forget what I told you. If the square pan is not changed, the outcome will not change. He said, from that day, I hated my father. And I said to myself, I will never be like my father. Well, that was what you said But what he didn't know is what you are learning today. It will take a new information. It will take new revelation. It will take a new disposition. Because he didn't have from that family what it takes to alter that outcome. So what happened? Over the years, Tiger Woods got married. And when Tiger got married, riding at the top of his career, and then all of a sudden, reports began to come that the same Tiger who hated what his father did, that they're beginning to find out it's like Tiger is having some affair. What? To cut a long story short, by the time Tiger he was with the therapist, and the therapist began to talk to him, because part of what they must do is to get him to a place where he unclogs. In psychotherapy, you have to do that. They have to unclog him. And part of that requires that you have to consciously mention who and who have you slept with. Can you remember who you slept with? Because it's important. Whatever you lack the power to talk about, you do not have the power to conquer. Shame is what keeps evil to keep thriving. Whatever you are ashamed to talk about will continue to overwhelm you and conquer you. The first key to overcoming anything, including addiction, is to be bold enough to talk about it. Whatever you can shine the light on will continue to perpetuate its strength in and through you to your destruction. So we say darkness is the hiding place of the adversary. The only way to get the devil out of a place is to shine the light right where he stays. So Tiger had to start mentioning names. By the time they were done, he said, the ones I could remember, that I could remember to count, over 100+. I saw one, I hated it, I've reproduced over 100. I'm telling you, our patterns are powerful. Patterns are powerful. A mother brought 3 children to me. That was where I saw the power of pattern at work. Right here in the office, sir. She brought 3 children. Said, Reverend Sam, I need your help. I said, what is it, ma'am? She said, her husband is a director with one of the government parastatals. I'll mention. She happens to be a director. So they were posted to 2 different states. But to the glory of God, they happen to be just about a state apart from each other in the western part of Nigeria. I think the husband was in Oyo. She was somewhere maybe in another western state. So it's just a matter of hours or so. They'll be right with each other. So on this particular day, this woman said, Reverend Sam, I decided to just pay my husband. We, the children, wanted to pay daddy a surprise visit. Hallelujah. She said she wanted to pay daddy a surprise visit. And the reason is very simple. She said, Reverend Sam, My husband happens to be the leader of one of the most thriving fellowship. In fact, he's their coordinator for a region. She met him as a man of God, revered by many. He has raised many pastors. So she said, Reverend Sam, I will never, never have thought that I will see what I saw. And so on that day, surprise! Hallelujah. May God surprise you. I want you to say amen. Do you have something you are covering? And they came over. They knocked on the door. He never thought they would be the one. Daddy on towel around his waist opened the door to see who is there. Boom. It was the wife. Daddy. So the children, out of joy, rushed in. Daddy, to hug daddy. So door was thrown open. Right, not in the bedroom. Right in the living room on the floor. She said, here was this girl stark naked. She said, Reverend Sam, a girl that is almost 30 years younger than her husband. Enough to be his daughter. She says, stark naked. So the children saw it. Please don't play what I'm talking about. This was at, they were all around their 6, 8, 9, or 10. So it was still their formative stage. But within few years, now we're dealing with these children at 13, 15, And I think that the most grown among them was about 16 at this time when the mother brought all of them. They expelled all of them from school. All. She said, Reverend Sam, she said, I don't know what came on my... So she didn't connect it until she got to my office. She didn't connect it. She said, Reverend Sam, so she brought them to tell me that, look, pray for my children. I don't know what has come upon them. These children are just... I said, Mommy, what is the problem? She said, this one will remove their private... The girl will be having sex in school. The boys, one of them will be showing his private stuff. That's what he displays, that one regularly. Because I saw daddy naked, so there's nothing special about. The other one too, caught sleeping with girls in school. So she was like, Reverend Sam, I don't know who cast a spell. I said, sorry, man, no, not a spell. See, she could not. This was where this story came from. I said, sorry, man, have they been exposed to pornography? I don't know why God just put that to my... She said, no. She said she can remember. I said, what is it, ma? She said they walked into the room where their father was having sex with a girl naked. I said, Mommy, what are you talking about? Patterns come through exposure. You keep watching movies. And you know, sometimes I'm surprised in church how that some of you girls, wonderful sisters in the Lord and brothers, you end up watching a movie where you were watching movie and you were seeing movie, and in the night the movie continued, right? It says that this time around they now made you also to be, since you've learned what they normally do by watching them, you have to also, they want you also to become an actor. Wouldn't you like to be an actor also yourself? So they decided now you're going to be the actor in the dream. Then you now wake up. Pastor, they after, who is after you? The Bible said dream cometh not but from the multitude of business. What have you watched? Exposure. There was a time in our homes we were having, what was the thing that was going on CNN then? Well, kind of war all over the world. One kind of, there was some terrible stuff going on around the world. And we just left our CNN on. And to the war, at the point, I just felt something was wrong in my spirit. I said, what is all this nonsense? So I took off the TV. I don't want that kind of exposure. Before you know, somebody's blood pressure starts shooting up. And you'll be wondering, where is it coming from? It comes from exposure. What you see repeatedly becomes normal. What is normal becomes your behavior. You reproduce always what you are exposed to. The pattern you saw is stronger than the desire you carry. Deal with the pattern. Patterns come through encounters, not just exposure. People are not just companions. People are influencers. Every relationship you have with somebody leaves a mark on your life. Patterns evolve through encounters. Who you meet, the people you spend time with are shaping your mindset, your pleasure center, your desires, your taste. I shared with us the other day, and I think it's all over the place online now. I shared with us how that for those of us who are men, be careful who you spend time with. It can alter your taste for life. Mind the sounds you listen to. My wife is here. Sometimes I get phone calls. People who are supposed to be calling me for counseling. Is that clear? And then they say, hello, Reverend Sam. How are you? And my phone's, of course, always on speaker. I say, yeah, God bless you. Thank you so much. I want to be very straight about it. I say, so, who am I speaking with, please? Hannah, it's me. I'm like, sorry, the number is, I've never met you before, the number is new, what's going on? Oh, sorry, sir, I thought you know me and all of that. I said, well, please, can you go straight to what exactly is the issue? So I put off the phone. And the person will call back again. I'll say, please, can you be exact with what you want to talk to me about? And your voice is not loud. Can you be louder? Don't hear me. I have fun. I have AC in my house. Don't breathe on me. Breathe on me. Don't breathe on me. Praise God. Be not deceived. Evil communication does what, sir? It corrupts. And for those of us who are men, we know ourselves. Two things we can't stand: sight and sound. That's why you must only be exposed to that within the confines of marriage. Once you begin to get yourself exposed to the sound and the sight of another woman consistently, it's going to weaken you over time. If nobody ever told you that, you better be aware. That's why I'm begging our women at home. I said, please, at home, make sure there's sight and there's what? Put on the light. You are children of light. Husband and wife, when you're together intimately, there should be light. Let there be. You are children of. Everything about us is what? And where the light shines. So women of God, let there be. And let there be sound. And the Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord said. Say something. Pastor Wisdom, am I helping? Pastor Zaya, your wife is behind. Say something. They say if you see something. You mean we've been together inside this room, you've not seen anything? Say what? Say something. And please make it loud. So that to make a distinct sound. So that people can prepare for war. Is that... Praise. So, patterns come through encounters. Mind who you surround yourself with. It will shape the outcomes of your life. Lastly, pattern comes through experiences. Pain has memory. Experiences leave imprints. Many people are reacting to present situations with past emotions. They are not responding to their partners. They are responding to their history. If your heart is wounded, your relationship may begin to bleed. If your heart is wounded, your relationship may begin to bleed. Because trauma produces fear. Trauma produces fear. Rejection produces insecurity. It is the way it works. Betrayal will produce suspicion. Those who have been betrayed before are highly suspicious, even of individuals who are out to truly love them. It is my hope and prayer that God will guide us as we've come to this meeting today. You've gathered together here today because God wants to speak to us. Lastly, write this down. Patterns evolve through education. Patterns evolve through education. I've shared four of them with you. Patterns evolve through education. What you believe will determine how you behave. What you know influences what you believe. And what you believe will determine how you behave. If your thinking is wrong, then your living will be wrong. It is just the way it flows. Your actions will be wrong. You are not necessarily wicked. You are wrongly programmed. Yes. You are not necessarily wicked. It's just that you were wrongly programmed. The wrong script runs your life. And until we deal with the script, this wonderful person that you are will not find true expression. It is my hope that as truth comes your way today, it will replace the error that has been parading itself through your life over the years. I pray that the word that will come to you today will make a whole world of difference. I pray to impact you. I pray your heart will be open as you listen to that which God has to minister to us on today. Amen. Let's get back to the four things I've mentioned to you. How do patterns evolve? Number one, loud and clear, let me hear you. Exposure. Number two, encounters. Number three, experience. Number four, education. Praise the name of the Lord. And how to deal with all of this, again, you just need to expose yourself to the truth. And that's why we're here today. Can we go back to the four ways by which we deal with them? Number one, change. Change what? The information. Today you want to open yourself to a new set of information. You want to open yourself to that. Number two, you change what? All right. You want the revelation of God's word to come into play in your life. And one of the things you must allow it to do is to change your... Say loud and clear. It must change your disposition. And after all that has been done, finally, you must make sure now you do what? Align your actions with what? With this new disposition that we have. It's work, but it's worth it. It's work, but it's worth it. I watch my father. Whenever my father is angry, whenever my father was angry, I watch my father. He will not eat my mother's food. Yes, my father will not eat my mother's food. So what my father will begin to do is, my father will begin to blow whistle. I can't forget that. And then my father will enter the kitchen. Now, at that moment, I used to enjoy it. It's like I was always looking for when they will quarrel. Because it was profitable to me. Because daddy will cook, mommy will cook. So it's double for our trouble. So my father cooks, my mother cooks. And then I'll come into the kitchen and I'll see him blowing whistle. And my mother too, guess what she'll be doing? Singing. He's blowing whistle, she's singing. That's what I told my wife. I said, one of the things I, when we got married, I said, please, worship God though. But if for any reason we are having a little bit of conflict, don't sing. Don't sing. Let's resolve the issue. Because I don't understand how that you're having an issue with your partner, you are worshiping God. First thing the Bible tells you, drop everything you are doing, go settle with that person. Am I talking to somebody? So I told her, but don't say. Guess what happened? Few months into our marriage, I don't know what, we had a disagreement with my wife. She's a very strongly opinionated person. She's a worry woman. She's alpha. She was highly independent very early in life. She makes her own decisions, you know, so... it's the kind of way she grew up. And then I was a little bit also, by the time my father died, I became the man of the house. I had the responsibility to care for my mom. So two decision makers now met in the same assembly. And somebody must be Senate President or House of Rep leader. And my wife was like, oh no, it's like this, it's like that. So I was upset. So what did I do? Don't forget, I hated what my father did. But in the moment of pressure, guess what I found myself doing? I started blowing whistle. Guess where I found myself? Inside the kitchen. What was I ready to do? I was about to start cooking when the voice of God came straight. Never again. She remember I came to tell her, never again should I ever see you do this. Get out of here right now. As I left the place, never to return to that. That's when God said to me, say, you are repeating the patterns of your father. You hated it, you're repeating it. I shared with you my wife. In our own case, I shared with you what happened. Her mother, I told you how that her own mother invited a friend. A friend was in trouble. The friend came to their house. Eventually, the friend was allowed to stay in their house. The friend or whoever the person was, the person eventually became the wife to the father. I shared with you how that her mother walked out of the house when she was 5 years old. And my wife was looking at her mom. Mama, you did go. That's how her mother was living at age 5. The next time my wife was going to see her mother was at her wedding day. But that's not the story. The story happens to be that we then got married. And my father-in-law had warned us before he died. He said, never let a visitor stay in your house longer than 3 days, 1 week. So he warned us about friends. And then here's my wife who I married her because she was friendly but did not keep friends. That's one thing I saw about her that I liked, because I was mindful of the ministry God was giving to me. I didn't want a wife that was always jumping and they would be calling me, your wife came to say this, your wife came. I didn't want that. I want a woman who is relational enough but independent. And then here we were. For the first time in our marriage, my wife began to develop interest in a particular lady in the community. And they became very close. So much that the friend would begin to come to our house. It was so much that my wife, this person would come, sit down, they would gist. And I said to myself, when did my wife become somebody like this? But here's where the story lies. On one of the days, I was sleeping in the night and I had a vision. And in that vision, here's what I saw. I saw a wedding scene. I was as if I was in the gallery of a building. And I saw a wedding. And I saw a lady at the altar. Normally the guy should be at the altar waiting for the... Am I correct? But this time around, I saw the lady standing at the altar with her bridesmaid. And the pastor was waiting to do the joining. And the man whispered to her, I said, where is the groom? She said, I don't know why he's not here. Is he not Reverend Sam? How I came out of the dream. I came out of the dream. It was so real. I said, what? And the Lord said to me, stop this relationship. I called my wife. I said, can you see something is going on? I come from a family where all the men have children out of wedlock. All the men in my bloodline, including my father. I don't even know who that girl is till date. My father's daughter. But I got to know after he died that my father had a daughter out of wedlock. I didn't know. My mother too doesn't know the girl. But we're told that there's a girl that this man was moved to go and also create somewhere. So watch, please, don't play what I'm telling you. So here am I come from a bloodline where they always have children out of wedlock, okay? And here she is. She had a situation whereby her own mother left home because somebody else came in. Now here is what's going on. Look at the perfect scenario. She has also gotten somebody who has now come into our house. Where do you think this story is leading to? I called her and I said, sweetheart, please, from today, this woman is a nice woman. In fact, the lady does not maybe even have any intention towards me. She is also about to play into a script. Are you getting what's going on here? She's about to play into a script that will result in a pattern being repeated. Are you getting something? These are deep issues of life. I said to her, I said, please, this woman should stop coming here. She said, what happened? I will share the dream with you. This is the dream. She should stop coming here. And that was the end of it. Today, I don't know what patterns drives you, what pattern drives your relationships. I don't know what's going on in your marriage. I don't know what's going on in your family. I don't know what it is you have seen that you don't want to see again. And by the way, let's look at it this way. I don't know what it is that you are saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, it must not continue with my children. Thus far, no further. This thing must not continue with my kids.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you would like to help support the podcast through your giving and donations, kindly click on the donate button or visit www.samoyepodcast.com. Don't forget to join us daily for the prophetic prayer hour with Rev Sam Oye via YouTube channel at Rev Sam Oye. Also, if what you desire is a change in your faith, family, and financial life, then experience the unraveling ministry of Reverend Sam Oye by being in any of our life transforming services. Log on to www.thetransformingchurch.org for details. You can also follow me on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and on Twitter at Rev Sam Oye. Thanks again. I'll see you in the next episode.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26767 6055. +233 26767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.